Hey, good morning. How is everybody? Come on, good to be with you this morning. Yeah. If you got your Bible this morning, let's see, where do I want you to turn it to? How about turning to Matthew 5, Matthew chapter 5. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. So grateful to be with you every Sunday, but especially in this season. It's not just a normal season. God's doing some really special things in the life of our church. I hope that you have been encouraged and blessed by some of the vision that's being cast through those images for what we believe is possible for updating and improving and just stewarding well our facility this morning. Come on, let me hear from you. Were you blessed this morning to just begin to see some of those images and some of what is in our heart to do? And, you know, I'm just compelled. I believe that God can and will use a people that will gather in his name and allow ourselves to dream with him and respond to his word in faith, believe that he is who he is, believe that he'll do what he said, believe that his word still is true today, that it's alive and it's active. I believe that he'll use a church that will posture itself that way to bring revival and life to the city in which that church exists. And I'm speaking that with frequency to you guys because I want you to catch it. I don't want you to just hear it. I want you to catch it. I want you to become a part. I want you to receive and hear this morning the invitation that I'm extending to you as a pastor of this church to come and be a part of it. I believe that the arm of God is not so short that it cannot save the city of Lawrence. And I'm believing that though Lawrence might be known for some certain things right now, that Lawrence might be known as a stronghold for some certain things right now, I believe it is possible for Lawrence to begin to be known by some different things. For Lawrence to become known as a city of revival, a city where God's Spirit has been poured out, a city where many, many people are being saved and healed and set free and strengthened, and not just strengthened to stand, but moving forward in a purpose and a plan and a destiny that God has had for their life before the foundation of time that they've just been separated from by the lies and by the deceits of the enemy. Come on, can you begin to just feel it and sense it and begin to just allow that wherever you are this morning? And just like Amity said this morning, we don't know where you're at, but God does. And I believe that it's true. It's not just true for me and for the leaders of, it's true for every one of you. God has this amazing life. God wants to revive us to life in Christ. God wants us to receive and begin to live out what you hear us talk about often, this fully alive and shining brightly life. I believe that Lawrence can be known as a city of revival, a revival that's characterized by many people saved and healed, set free and strengthened to stand. And, you know, we're walking through this season, we're calling it legacy. And it started with us remembering and recalling intentionally what God's already done, the ways he's moved before, the ways he moved back in the 70s to birth this church with a group of young people that were just so passionate for Jesus. They were, if you just remember some of the things that came out in that legacy film, and if you didn't have a chance to see it, I want to encourage you to go online or find there's some DVDs that we made that we want to make available to you, and find an opportunity and sit down and watch it and allow God to just show you and reveal to you what we're a part of and what we're continuing, this great cloud of witnesses, these things that God's already done that he wants to do again. And as we watched that film, I saw an enthusiastic group of people who were passionate about Jesus and who were passionate about seeing other people in their lives experience, encounter this Jesus who had radically changed their lives. And I believe that God is calling us as we begin to just focus on and call out to God and seek his face and say, God, come and revive us and come and revive our church and come and revive our homes and our families and come and revive our city. I believe that God's in many ways calling us to revisit and see some things that he's already done in previous generations be restored to us. He's calling for a people to begin to just once again have faith that he, like I said a moment ago, he is who he is and he'll do what he said. That impossible situations bow to a God of impossible things. He'll do the things that he said. He can and he will save the precious people of Lawrence and the surrounding areas. I've been here for 2 years. And I'm so blessed. I just got to tell you, Amity and I and our family, our growing family, we're so blessed to be here and to serve. That's the posture that I hope to lead from. I want to just serve you and serve this church and serve Jesus well. And as I entered in, I just sought the Lord and I said, Lord, what's your heart for this church? he began to speak to me. I'm just reminding you of some things this morning. He began to speak to me very clearly, and he began to show me a table, and he began to say, this is a good table. There's a precious family, and I'm calling you to begin to stir that family, to begin to receive fresh faith that I want to bring more people and add to their family. And the language that he used was, I'm asking you to prepare room at the table. And he began to show me that as he's calling us to have faith for God to reach more people and bring more precious people into our family to experience and to encounter what we've already experienced, he began to show me, begin to strengthen the nets so that when I begin to bring these precious people, when I begin to draw these people, when I begin to lead people to myself through our relationships and through this service that we have on Sunday morning and through the life groups and through you guys being shining the light of Jesus in your workplace and in your school and wherever God takes you, he said, begin to strengthen the nets. And so what you're seeing, this legacy process, what you're seeing in the halls of our church, this vision to take this amazing facility that God's blessed us with, that we're now a privilege to steward, that what it represents is just one of the ways that the elders and myself began to believe God was showing us that we could strengthen the nets. That we're so blessed with this facility and that it's just the time and it's the season for us as we begin to walk through the facility to say, you know what, this church has been used well. And can I just tell you, that's a good thing. The stains on the carpet in the children's ministry and the dings and the dents and the scratches represent life and ministry having happened in this place. And so I don't despise it. I'm grateful for it. But I believe as we walk through, the Lord began to just highlight that it's a season to just begin to focus on updating and bringing a new season of excellence to our facility to prepare the way for God to bring more people to us. And so I hope that you see, and I'm about to get into my message this morning and just unpack some of this for you. Some of the whys and some of the reasons that God would call us to take these steps of faith. But first, I want to share with you some of the details because you're seeing these images and I'm sure there's questions that you have. And God began to just call us to, I believe that the pathway, and you hear me speak this often, the pathway to the new and the next and the more of what God's calling us to and the vision that he's giving us as a church is big and it's substantial, but it's walked out and it's reached and it comes to pass as we're faithful to steward well what God's already put in our hands. And so God began to just highlight to take our facility, even with the vision that God's giving us that's big, that God would transform the spiritual atmosphere of Lawrence and that God would even begin to move us and our influence as we raise up leaders to begin to say, God, in your timing, and in step with you, Lord, that you would even cause us to have a vision to reach beyond Lawrence and see Topeka and Kansas City and other cities and even our entire nation revived for Jesus Christ. But it starts with where we're at today. The most important step, church, wherever you are in your faith journey with Jesus Christ, wherever you are in any situation or circumstance, the most important step is always, it's always the first or the next step. It's good that God would show us some things that he wants to do in our lives and in our church. But when he shows us that, the most important thing is that we're faithful and we're willing and we're able, even if it requires great faith, to just say, all right, God, you're showing me some things about what's possible in my life, in my marriage, in my business, in my workplace, in our church, in our city. What's the first step? What's the first step? And then once we take that step, we say, all right, God, we've taken that first step. And sometimes it's hard. Just like the people of Israel, it's hard to step in. When they step their foot into that river, that's when the waters parted. So God will take the step. Even if it requires great faith and sacrifice, we're taking this step. And then I trust that as we begin to walk, God will begin to prepare the way and show us the way and give us the next step to take and the next step to take. And sometime we'll look back and we'll say, remember when God called us to step out in faith and he began to visit us and deliver this vision to us. And now look at the influence. Look at the lives changed. Look at the cities being revived for Jesus Christ. But the first step, we believe, was to begin to just strengthen the nets and steward our facility well. And so what you're seeing out there is there's no expansion to this existing facility. It's all about updating and improving the existing facility that God's blessed us to steward. And so I just want to touch on a few of the things, and we're not raising money yet for this. We're still in the process. I just felt it was right for a few things to happen. One, in 2 weeks from now, we celebrate the new name that we believe the Lord has given us for this church. And can I just tell you, and I mentioned this with a group of leaders that I was recently sitting with, and I hope she doesn't mind me calling her out, but it was just one of the things that blessed my heart in the legacy film, and it was Mary Foster. I was so grateful for many of the testimonies that came out in the film. But she said, in seasons where God was calling us, and she was talking about the history of this church, 45 years of just serving God and making a difference. And she said, in the history of our church, when God would call us to change, we had a peace about those changes because we knew and we understood that the elders that were seeking God for the vision of our church were committed to making decisions in unity. And I just want to encourage you that that has not changed. And that we take it, we wear it, Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light, but there's a weight that we sense of responsibility to provide leadership and vision and direction to this church. And we've set before the Lord and we've pressed into God and we've presented things before him and we've asked him to confirm and affirm and we've laid it out before him and said, God, we don't want to move. We don't want to move ahead unless you speak, unless you bring us peace, unless you confirm and affirm the direction for this church. And so that's the way we're making these decisions, is we're seeking God and we're asking him to stir faith. But then as he's stirring faith, we're saying, okay, God, what are the steps? What are the steps? And as we approach 2 weeks from now when we celebrate and embrace and reveal to you guys as a church family, and that's who and what we are, we're a family. I felt like it was important, and I feel like the Lord has just been so faithful. Even in some of the ways where there's been some delay, I've just had a peace in my heart. He's just settled it in my heart that some of the delays have even been divine delays. That is, we're just walking and we're just walking in step with him, that he's been so gracious to us. But I believe that a couple things were important to me and just important prophetically to God. And that was that we unveil the vision for improving our facility and updating our facility and stewarding well this facility while we were still known as Mustard Seed Church. That was important to me, and I believe it was prophetically important to God. And so we're not expanding our facility, we're just increasing. We're going to move a few walls out here in our foyer to create an expanded lobby space, to add a full-service cafe out there, and to create additional space for people to come and to connect relationally with one another, to do life and share life with one another, to encourage one another, to take the hand of someone and pray with one another and speak the word of God and speak life over one another. So are they showing some of those? Yeah, there's some of the images of what the lobby can and will look like as we step into this process. And do you have that image of, yeah, there you can see it from right now where we'll knock out this area right here and we'll create a guest welcome station where right when people walk in our door, we can have some precious people stationed right there to begin to welcome them quickly and just begin to help them to navigate their way through the church. How many know sometimes when you show up for the first time at a church, there's just kind of apprehension about what to expect and where to go? And so we want people to feel welcomed and valued and cared for. And as they show up right there, I can just already see in my spirit what's already happening, but just more space for you guys to connect and to be engaging and sharing your life and sharing the ways that God's moved in your life in the previous week or weeks and sharing the places where you have challenges and praying for one another and encouraging one another. And then we're going to prepare and implement a more secure children's check-in situation here. We're gonna build out right there in this hallway where the children's check-in station currently exists, and we're gonna create a situation that's more secure and allows us to be prepared to welcome even more families and more visitors showing up with many little kids that we're gonna have the privilege and we're gonna be blessed to begin to take back into our improved children's spaces and begin to teach them about a God who created them with a purpose for their life. And begin to teach them to, just like Daniel, it says in Daniel, to know their God and prepare to do great exploits for Jesus. Come on, to be world changers for Jesus. And so we're going to go back there, and I'm so grateful. I just can't wait for the opportunity to just see those areas. Again, I'm grateful for what we have, but if you look around and you begin to walk through and just kind of allow God to just show you, there's a lot of places where there's some wear and tear. And that's a sign that ministry and life have been happening there. But I'm so excited about the opportunity to go into those places. Listen, God deserves our very best. And our family deserves our very best. And the prodigal sons and daughters and the people that we're yet to reach in our community deserve our very best when they show up and become connected to the family that God created them to connect to. And so I'm just so excited about it. I'm grateful. And I believe that when parents and visitors and people that are coming and they're seeking and they're searching for God, who is this Jesus? And they're seeing the way that we live and the way that we steward the things and the way that we encounter them and engage with them. I believe that doing the things that we can to the very best that we can speaks of the excellencies of God. and begins to be a reflection of the light of God, that we're taking the things that God's entrusted to us, our family, our relationships, and even the material things, this facility, and we're stewarding it the very most excellent way that we can. And I believe it'll speak something to people. I believe it'll prepare hearts for people to just begin to see and know that our God is a good God. And especially as parents begin to show up and check their kids into the children's ministry, that's a real responsibility and a blessing to receive those little ones and release the parents to come in here and to just focus on what God's doing in their life, healing their hearts and speaking life over them and restoring some things and revealing and reminding some things to them. And I just believe that if we go in and we prepare it with the most excellence possible, that parents, it will inspire confidence in them to release those kids to us and entrust them to us while they come in and encounter the love of God, the love of their Father. So we're going to just move into some of these places and just create some additional space, create a spirit of excellence to begin to prepare people. We're going to renovate this sanctuary, and we're going to acquire new seating that will allow this to become a space that's more flexible for some of the events and the things that we believe God will call us and already has called us to. Come on, ladies, how would you like to have some additional space to have some of those big gatherings that you've currently been cramming into the fellowship hall? A few of you are excited about that. Listen, it's already happening. They've had women's events that have had upward of 200 ladies, precious women of God, showing up, and they've had to just kind of cram into places because there's not much flexibility in here. We're going to create a flexible situation where we can kind of flex the layout in here. We can have youth services in here with maybe modified seating arrangements and where they have space to do activities. And we can bring in round tables, and we can have marriage banquets, and we can have women's banquets, and we can do things in here to welcome more people to experience the life that we experience when we gather in those settings. Amen. We're going to renovate the kitchen. Come on, somebody better say amen to that. And the bathrooms. Come on, the ladies are going to be excited about that one. And the fellowship hall. The idea is just to improve and just be looking to our facility and just create some additional space and to improve the spaces that we already have. You know, God is, he's building his church. When he came and he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter answered well, and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, you've answered well, Peter. And he said, "On this rock, this revelation of who I am and what I've come to do," he said, "I'm going to build my church." Listen, in times of cultural decay, God always builds something to preserve his people. And in the days of Noah, when there was all this cultural chaos and decay and people had turned their hearts and they were far from God, how many know our culture looks much like probably what the days of Noah looked like? And in the days of Noah, God built an ark to preserve his people and preserve them and allow them a chance to be redeemed. And in our days, God is building. Jesus said it right there, "I'm building my church. I'm building my church." He said, "On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He's building his church, and it says the gates of hell shall not prevail. Listen, that implies that there's an activity, there's an act of faith, there's an offensive posture that he intends for us. He said that he came to seek and save the lost. He came to destroy the works of the enemy, and he came to give us abundant life. How many know that that's the same commission, and it's what he's commissioned us to do? To seek and save the lost. To destroy the works of the enemy. When we reach out and we rescue people to a relationship with Jesus, to see all the places and the ways that the enemy has come and hindered and held back and put people in bondage and kept people from experiencing the life of God in every area of their life, we're called to bring those things down, and then in that place begin to reveal what Jesus made possible for us, this abundant, amazing life that can only be found through a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. He's building his church, and the church is not the building. 1 Peter 2:5 says that the church is living, we are living stones. We are the church. It says, "You also, you're living stones, and you're being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Listen, the church is not the building, just like your physical home is not your family. When Amity and I got married, God had something in mind, and it was us coming together as one and connecting to God's purposes for each of our lives as individuals and what he had called us to do as one. And he had already in mind the children that he would bless us with. And so he didn't have brick and mortar in mind. He had something life-giving. He had something that lives and breathes and moves and continues for generations. The church is not the building. We are the church. But just like your home is important to your family, just like your home to your family is intended to be stewarded well, both physically and spiritually, your home is intended to be a place, your home and our church is intended to be a place to gather around the table, to break bread together. Come on, in your physical home, that where your family resides, and in this building where we physically gather, it's intended to be a place for us to grow, to remember, to celebrate, to mourn, to laugh, to testify and celebrate the things that God's already done. It's a place to rest. It's a place where we're intended to relationally and in God's presence be filled up and strengthened and equipped to go out and fulfill the purpose of God that we've discovered in the house of God, in our community. Come on, we're called to come to this place to do all those things so that we can then go and make disciples, so that we can then go and shine the light of Jesus, so that we can then go and make a difference in the places that God's planted us. The church is not the building. We're the church. And God is building his church. And in those times of like we live in today, he always builds something to preserve his people. And I want to encourage you, get in and stay in what God is building. Get in the ark that God's built to preserve us in the times of floods. Come on, even right now, just like that water is roaring ashore and raging ashore, God desires to be the solid footing, the high ground, the solid rock upon which our lives are built. Get in and stay in. Psalm 92. Verse 13 through 15 says, those planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. They will bear fruit in old age. Come on, that's a good promise. They will stay fresh and green. Come on, look at your neighbor. Say fresh. Say, stay fresh. Almost messed that one up. They will stay fresh and they'll stay green. They'll be proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no wickedness in him. Come on, that's the promise to those who plant themselves in the house of the Lord and they flourish. What God's building is this place of refuge and strength and hope and life and relationship. Get in it and stay in it. God's worthy of our best. Come on, I'm passionate about the local church. There's many ways that we can make a difference for God and for the kingdom of God. And there's many things that God will call you to in your workplace and in some personal things that he's invested in you that he desires to release in the context of shining a light for Jesus. But I'm passionate. The reason I do what I do is I'm passionate about the local church as a place where people can come and discover that for themselves. Where people can come and find the refuge in the time of trouble, where they can be healed from the things that have hindered and hurt them, where they can be set free from some of the weights and the bondages, and where they can in the places where some of that freedom occurs and that healing occurs, that they can then begin to, in a new way or a fresh way, begin to hear the word of God and receive his promises in faith and begin to discover what God has for them in every area of their life. I'm passionate about the local church. Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And it says, let your light so shine. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God's worthy of our best. This idea of so shine, there's emphasis on this. Let your light so shine. In the same way, another translation says, let your light shine so that the world can see the light of Jesus in us. Come on, and that affects and that can be walked out in our countenance, in our workplace, in the way we respond, and the way we engage with people. But I want to encourage you, it's also in the way that we steward the things that God's put in our hands. God's worthy of our best. Our family is worthy of our best. The people we're yet to reach deserve our best. And you know, a few months ago, I was standing in the kitchen. I believe I was probably waiting for a pot of coffee to finish brewing. And I was standing there, and I kind of was leaning against the countertop. If you're familiar with our kitchen, you can probably almost kind of picture it in your mind's eye. You know, there's on the west end of our kitchen, there's an opening to our fellowship hall, and I'm leaning up against that, and I'm waiting for some coffee right there to finish. And I'm just looking out, kind of looking down, and I just noticed something. And I, again, you got to hear me. I'm so grateful and so thankful for the sacrifice of previous generations and the generosity of previous generations and for the facility that we're blessed with. But I was just standing there just looking down, and the Lord just highlighted to me, there's just some scuffs on the cabinetry, and there were some tiles that were missing and broken and chipped, and the vent was rusted and kind of bent. It had been stepped on. Again, there's a lot of life that's happened out of that kitchen. But as I'm sitting there, I feel like the Lord just began to speak to me. And he just spoke to my heart and said, if your kitchen was in that condition, and I knew where he was going, and I just thought, oh, Lord, it's almost like I finished a sentence. I was like, I would renovate it pretty quickly for my wife and for my family. And he just spoke to me. You know how God, he's so gracious, but you know when he's doing something, he can also be kind of firm and direct. And he just said, well, why won't you do it for my house? Have the faith to do it for my house. If your house deserves it, how about mine? And it just began to stir in my heart. And as an eldership, we began to just walk through our facility. And again, we're grateful, but we just began to just notice. And God began to just highlight, this is the time and this is the season to put this attention and give this as a focus. And this won't be the last time, church. We'll be committed to stewarding well and maintaining things well. But there will be future generations that hopefully will see our example, and they'll step out in faith to build buildings and renovate buildings and expand and go into places and bring the light of Jesus wherever God would call them. I'm passionate about our local church, and I believe God deserves our very best. And so as we step out and do this, we'll trust God for the provision to do it with excellence. It's not going to be opulence that's unnecessary, but it's going to be really, really, really excellent. It's going to speak of the excellence of our God. It's going to speak of the priority that we as a people and we as a church family give to the house of God that we're connected to. Not in opulence, but in excellence. You know, my parents are in town this week. Everyone say hi to my parents right here. Come on, Mom and Dad, just give honor where honor's due. My parents, Richard and Peggy, and we were just looking through some of the images that you guys are seeing this morning, and my dad began to tell me about a story that, you know, they oversaw a network of churches, and so they traveled a lot in and out of churches, and they began to tell me a story about a church that they went into that had gone through a renovation process in their facility, and they had some difficulties, and they were really just kind of short on faith to see it through. And so some of the elders had gathered, and they had vote in an effort to save money in the renovation process. Come on, you guys, I just can't believe I'm about to tell you guys this. In an effort to save money in the renovation process, these guys had gathered and voted to not put stalls in the women's bathrooms. Listen, come on, we're not laughing at their expense, but if they were in the room, I think they'd probably tell you, we missed it on that one. I mean, can you just picture that? A women's restroom with just toilet by toilet by toilet by toilet, and you're sitting there kind of like, good morning. Good morning, you know. How was your week? Can you spare a square? Come on, how many of you can just agree with me that that was not God's best for that church? And I just have to figure that it didn't take long for those wives to kind of veto that church vote, you know, in some way, shape, or form. But we're going to do it with excellence. God deserves our best. And listen, we're a family, and our family deserves an excellent place to gather and to grow and to be encouraged. The church is the hope of the world. Last scripture I'll take you to, Psalm chapter 27. And the psalmist, he says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. Come on, he's establishing priority. He said, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent. He'll set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. And at his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. And I will sing and I will make music to the Lord. Listen, there's some things I see in this, and the first is the prioritization of the house of God. This idea that this one thing I seek, to be in the presence of God all the days of my life, and to understand that, just like Matthew 6:33 says, to begin to, as a people, to begin to prioritize Jesus and to begin to prioritize his kingdom and to seek it first and trust that all the other things of our life are going to be taken care of. Come on, I believe it's true. I believe it's not, it's an invitation from God to you and to me and to every marriage and to every family, to in the midst of the busyness, in the midst of the culture that pulls you to and fro with all the things of life. Come on, you. How many know we it's easy to stay busy? And more to just resolve this in our heart and just say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. One thing I ask, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to make the kingdom of God, and we're going to make Jesus the priority. And I see some things as we continue to just kind of break down that scripture. The church is a place of hope and healing. The church is a place of peace and protection. It says, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent. Listen, there are many, many people, and maybe you're here today, and in each of us in certain seasons of life, are going to need a touch from God to bring hope and to bring healing. And it's the reason that we gather and welcome the presence of God. It's the reason that we encourage you guys in the model of the book of Acts in the New Testament, where it says that the people of God would gather in the temple and from house to house. It's the reason that we encourage you to find a life group. Listen, I just want to just encourage you with that. It's not too late. And by the way, those, you don't have to go out there and sign up. Those are not registration forms. Those are just requests to receive information from groups. And so you don't have to have put your name on there. And let me just tell you, there's an open invitation. Come and find that group. There's a booklet that you can find out there if you don't have one, or you can go online and find the group and find a way to begin to connect and grow and build Christ-centered friendships. Come on, in every one of our lives, there's going to be a season where we need a refuge, where we need a place where we can rediscover or in a new way reconnect to the hope that we have in Jesus. There's, in every one of our lives, there's going to be a season where we need to experience the healing of God, because we've experienced the pain of a world that's lost and broken and hurting and is groaning for the return of Jesus Christ. The church is a place of hope and healing and peace and protection. It's also a place of strength and stability. And I'll close here in a moment. Worship team, come up and prepare to help us dismiss with the song this morning. It says, in the day of trouble, he'll keep me safe. He'll hide me in the shelter. And then it says, he'll set me high upon a rock. He'll set me high upon a rock. Can I just tell you, Jesus is the only foundation that will stand in every area of your life. He's the rock. And I know I mentioned a moment ago, but just like that water is just pouring into those places in Florida. And I'm so grateful that we took the time to pray, and we're going to give into that as a church. Thank you for your generosity to help us do that in the biggest way possible. But just like that water is pouring in, it says, he'll set me upon a rock. He'll set me upon a high place. Because how many know there are storms that are just brewing in the earth today, and there are storms of life that you encounter in every area of your life. And Jesus is the only foundation. He's the firm foundation. And listen, I don't know about you, but I know in my own life, in every way and in every place where I've attempted to build it, in my own wisdom, I've attempted to build it my own way. I've attempted to build it according to the ways of the world or the patterns of the world or the culture of this day. That's been like shifting, sinking sand. And I'm so grateful for the grace of God to just heal me and preserve me and to remind me about his ways and his word and his best and his promises. And it's my invitation. I implore you as your pastor this morning, in every area of your life, build it upon the rock that is Jesus Christ. marriage, your home, raising your kids, fulfilling the call, discovering and fulfilling the call of God on your life and in your workplace and in your friendships and in your relationships. He's a strength. He's a solid rock. And we discover power and purpose. It says, my head will be exalted above the enemies. Again, remember, he's saying, one thing I ask, one thing I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord. And then he's talking about everything that he encounters and experiences when he gets in the house of God and in the presence of God. He says, my head will then be exalted above the enemies who surround me, and at his sacred tent I'll sacrifice with shouts of joy. We discover power and purpose, and we discover and we're able to live in joy and in gladness. So I want to ask you, would you stand to your feet this morning and just let's respond corporately as a family. We're a family. We're the people of God. We're the people of God's word. We're the people of God's kingdom. And I just want you right there where you stand to just, I want to just give us some space to just allow the Lord to speak to you. It's one thing I'm so amazed about is that even a message like this that just has a lot of vision in it and a lot of just practical stuff, there's always, God is just so good and he's so gracious and he cares so much for you and for your family and for your future that I trust that this morning in some way he can speak to you. And I think it's good for us to sometimes in the presence of God, and especially after the praise and worship and the preaching of God's word, for us to just stand and just kind of open our hearts, and maybe right there where you are, you'd even want to just open your hands and kind of lift your hands before the Lord. I'm not asking you to do it, but if you want to, it's just a way to just respond to the Lord and just say, Lord, what would you speak to me? What are you speaking to me, God? In what ways are you calling me to recognize? What ways are you gracing and bringing a gentle reminder or shining your loving light and bringing a gracious conviction? What ways have I begun or have I gotten kind of swept into building my life on something other than the rock of Jesus Christ? Listen, when God shows you something, it's because he wants to help you with it. The enemy reminds you of your weaknesses and failures and the stuff you're going through to rub your nose in it. God reminds you of it because he wants to deliver you, because he wants to help you, because he wants to set you free, because he wants to get you back on track, because he wants to strengthen and equip you to begin to reconnect to his ways. So just receive it this morning. Lord, in what ways have I built my life? In what ways have I put more of an emphasis? In what ways have I been more influenced by the culture of this world than the word of God and the rock that is Jesus Christ? Thank you, God. I just thank you that you're showing us this morning. You're speaking to us this morning. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that as you're speaking and as you're showing, that you're going to cover us with your grace. You're going to begin to strengthen and empower us, Lord. You're going to give us the first steps or the next steps. Come on, that's the most important step. And for some of you this morning, it might be a big step towards Christ. For others of you this morning who already know and are serving Christ, it might be just an adjustment or maybe a stepping back into becoming a significant part of what God's doing in your local church. Or maybe it's a step for you to get beyond just coming to church a few times on Sunday mornings. And it's really heeding what I'm imploring you to do. And it's grabbing one of those life group booklets. And it's finding a marriage group or a men's group or a women's group or a college and young adult group to go in. Begin to grow in a new way, in a deeper way, and begin to build Christ-centered relationships and friendships. What's that step for you this morning? Before we worship, if that step for you is the big step towards Christ, if it's receiving this morning the invitation to a relationship with God and a new life in God that Jesus came to make possible, to cover your sins and cover your shortcomings and cover all the mistakes you've made and give you a fresh start and begin to just redeem you to God, if that's you this morning, I'm not going to ask you to do anything but just put your hand up high in the air to respond to his invitation this morning before I pray for you. Come on, if that's you this morning and you want to make a big step towards a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, just put your hand up. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come on, church, put your hands together for the precious brothers and sisters that are putting their hands together, taking that step towards Jesus this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come on now, I just want us all to pray this. Because sometimes, come on, let's lend our voices to just already show these precious people that have extended their hands in faith that we're their family. We're going to walk this out with them, and we're going to be there with them to live this thing out with them. And let's all just pray this. And maybe in a new or fresh way, you're just dedicating your life to Jesus. So will you all just repeat after me and just pray this? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I give you my life. I thank you for forgiving me, for healing me, for making me whole, for making me new, for giving me a fresh start. In Jesus Christ, I commit my heart, I commit my mind, I commit my life in every area to Jesus Christ. I thank you that you have a plan, and it's a good plan for me and for my future. In Jesus' name, and all God's precious people said, come on with a shout of praise this morning.